aften og velkommen til Radio Shalom. Vi sender på 87,6 på FM-båndet og på 90,6 på hybrid. Radio Shalom sender hver aften mandag til torsdag fra kl. 18.30 til 20. Hver tredje onsdag sender vi på Yiddish. Lørdag aften kl. 22 til 24 sender vi musik. Søndag formiddag kl. 10 til 12 sender vi ugens magasin. Og søndag kl. 16 til 20 sender vi på hebraisk. Og man kan få meget mere at vide om Radio Shalom ved at gå ind på hjemmesiden. Den hedder www.radioshalom.dk. Og herfra kan man også lytte til udsendelserne, enten via en kategori eller en dato. Og her på Radio Shalom vil vi altid gerne høre fra lytterne. Enten så kan man sende os en mail. Her er adressen info@radioshalom.dk. Eller også kan man ringe til studiet. Telefonnummeret her er 35 85 86 11. God aften og velkommen til Klismahjørnet. I studiet sidder Marianne Vaksberg, og i teknikken Roland Engelmann. Alexander er i Israel i øjeblikket, så måske vender han hjem med noget spændende til os næste gang. Og i aften der skal vi høre noget musik, som har relation til den nys overståede jødiske kulturfestival. Og vi spillede også noget af musikken sidste gang, men vi skal have noget lidt mere her i aften. Og jeg vil lægge ud med sangerinden Stella Jørgensen, eller Morgenstern, som hun også kalder sig, som havde en meget dejlig koncert, synes jeg, sammen med hendes guitarist, der hedder Andreas Hecht. Og Frank London spillede med på sin trompet. Det gør han så ikke på de numre, vi skal høre, fordi det er jo fra en CD, det vi skal høre i aften. Men ved koncerten, der var han med. Og Stella mødte Cliff Maddox, som Frank London jo var medlem af for 15 år siden. Og for hende åbnede der så et helt nyt musikalsk univers, siger hun. I forvejen så var hun meget betaget og optaget af folkemusik, og siden er hun gået i dybden med den jiddiske musik og den jødiske musikarv, som jo forbinder det meste af verden. Men de her mennesker, de er fra Hamburg. Man siger to stemmer og fire hænder, fire sprog og mange forskellige instrumenter. Stella, hun spillede på ukulele og sang først og fremmest, og så spillede hun på et instrument, som hedder en shrutibox, som er, jeg tror, sådan en blanding af en harmonika og noget rytme. Så det lød som et helt orkester, når de to spillede. Og på den måde, der leverer de et fyrværkeri for ørerne, øjnene og hjertet. Og duoen synger om kærlighed, fortæller om at flyve højt og føle sig lykkelig, om afsked og adskillelse, som får publikum til at føle sig som passagerer i en rutsjebane. De bruger nogle jødiske tekster, som er fyldt med humor, vid og ironi, som enhver tilhører kan identificere sig med. Og som sagt synger hun faktisk på fire sprog. Hebraisk, engelsk, jiddisch og tysk. Og det meste af det, vi skal høre i aften, det er på hebraisk. Og de fleste af sangene er komponeret af den israelske kunstner, professor Merovs. Noget af det i den sådan, hvad skal vi sige, vestlige folketradition, men det bliver blandet med blues, chansons og orientalske stemninger. Men lad os prøve at kaste os ud i det. CD'en, som vi skal høre fra i aften, den hedder Beautiful Songs, smukke sange. Det første nummer hedder Bo Elai, det betyder kom til mig. Kom til mig, fyld mig med lys. Natten er så mørk. Hvis du kommer og bliver hos mig, så kan vi se solen stå op. Du vil fjerne min frygt, og mørket vil forsvinde. Thank you. Den næste sang, den hedder As Kshebachit. Det betyder dengang, du græd. I går græd du, og vi troede, det var slut. Tårerne i dine øjne frøs til is, og ord blev til torden. Men så jeg smilehullet i din kind og smilede, og solen vågede og skinnede på himlen.
אחת חן קנה על אחייך נתנה לי סיבה לחייך השמש העזה לשוב
Vi fortsætter med en sang, der hedder Dvoirele Lacht. Det betyder lille dvorak lær. Og den her musik er Efin Chornis, som er en sådan jiddisch musiker, som vi havde besøg af også til en festival for, jeg tror det er 2 eller 3 år tilbage. Dvoirele Lær, men dog siger hun hverken ja eller nej. Hun holder ham hele tiden hen, men hun er vred på sig selv og har lyst til at slå hovedet ind i væggen. Han bønfalder hende om at blive, men hun løber væk, både alene og grædende. Hun våger ikke at sige, at hun elsker ham.
Dvoirele lacht und beweist ihre Zehn. Sie sagt ihm nicht ja und sie sagt ihm nicht nein. Ei, nicht nein. Es wollt besser gewesen, sie soll nehmen a Hack. Sie geben ihm Porsche, da Traske in Back, euren Back. Nur soll sie nicht lachen, nur Dvoirele lacht und läuft in der Finster a gutinke Nacht, euer Nacht. Die Dieninke knappelach zocken in Stehen, zack, zack, kann beteiten, sei ja und sei nein, oi sei nein. Größer Verdross, ei Verdross. Als Geule Masa soll nicht können verstehen. Hat Schnee und so hack sich dem Kopf a verstehen, a verstehen. Zocken die Knabblach weit in der Nacht. Dvoirele läuft nicht, oi Dvoirele wart, Dvoirele wart. Dvoires Gelächter drückt sich von weit das Lachen, das Weinen, das selbe Bateit. Thank you.
Ja, vi skal have nok en sang sunget på hebraisk. Den hedder Bechadro Shel Hanasir. Det betyder i munkens værelse. Der hænger et billede af Jomfru Maria på væggen i munkens nøgne værelse. Han kan ikke sove. Han er fyldt med begær. Kunne hun dog bare komme hen til ham? Han vågner efter en stort set søvnløs nat og ser hende i sin seng. Han siger, tak Gud, mirakler kan stadigvæk ske.
של הנזיר מיטה כיסא תמונה על קיר חלון ומנורה כמה ספרי שירה ריק חדרו של הנזיר תשוקות ליבו הספן בעיר חולף על פני חייו וסב על עקבותיו אילו הבדולה תמונה עולה הישר אל מיטתו לנעום זמן איתו בחדרו של הנזיר אור השחר כבר מחביר לילה רב אמר על הנזיר עבר שטוף זימה בכל הגוף אילו הבדולה מן התמונה עולה הישר אל מיטתו לנעום זמנה
Det sidste nummer, vi skal høre i dag med Stella Morgenstern, det bliver nummeret i Quinta Harpst, som har tekst af den jiddiske poet Itzik Manger, og musikken er skrevet af guitaristen, her vi har hørt, Andreas Hecht. Og teksten siger, om efteråret kommer fårene hjem og lytter til vinden, der taler med æbletræet, nattens stjerner, vandreren og hans melankoli. Maruska spinder en regnfrakke og elsker dig, for hun er en fremmed ligesom du. Jeg vil overøse min sjæleven med gaver. hende, hvis hånd jeg så ofte har holdt i mine drømme.
Schwarze Schaf und verriegel sie im Stall auf Streu auf goldenem Mondschlaf. Was sagt der Wind zum Äppelbäum? Was sagt der Stern zu der Nacht? Was sagt der Geier auf dem Weg? Was geht da treurig her? Schrockenlicht. Septemberwind, du golden Kind, was will von dir das gelbe Licht? Maruschka, die Zigeinerte, sie spinnt vor dir das Regenhemd. Sie hat dich lieb, nur weil du bist wie sie, a Fremder ist. Wolkenkleid. Gesog ihr, als ich hab sie nicht gekannt, nur Tome sie geahnt. Und oft in Cholem meinem oft gefiert ihr heiße bräune Hand.
Ja, under festivalen var vi så heldige, Alexander og jeg, at få lov at interviewe Frank London. Faktisk interviewede vi ham før den her koncert med Stella Morgenstern. Og det interview, det kommer nu, og det er på engelsk. Og jeg skal nok lige sige fem ord bagefter om hvad det handlede om.
Are you on? Recording? Yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So we are sitting here with Frank London, who came all the way from the States to give concerts at the Jewish Cultural Festival. And we'd like to hear something about the music you're going to play tonight and tomorrow. Tomorrow you'll play with the Klezmatics, but today you will play with Stella Jürgensen. Yes. So how did you get to work with her?
Well, interestingly, Stella's a good friend, and she's a good friend of my wife's, so there's always the personal connection. Mm-hmm. But she's been doing her Stella's Morgenstern, Stella's Morning Star project for a number of years now with her partners Andreas and Professor Miroz. And it was really, I think, the idea of the organizers, of you all here in the community in Copenhagen presenting the festival, who knew that the Klezmatics were coming. Mm-hmm. We're celebrating our 30th anniversary and we're touring. We have a new CD called Apikorsim, yeah. where we celebrate being religious secular Jews.
Mazal tov.
They knew I was here, and they knew that they wanted to invite Stella and her project, and they said, how would it work, you know, if you played with Stella? And Stella and I said, we think it would be great. Mm-hmm. So really, really, though, what it is, it's Stella's program. This is not a new collaborative program. Perhaps one day we can do a new collaborative program. Really, it's Stella's program, her music or the group's music. Mm-hmm. And I just get to be the guest and have fun enhancing it and playing with it. And it's fun. They're great musicians. They're great songs. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. She sings in like 5 different languages. And,
wow.
You know, we're really, they're very interesting songs. And the composer is also going to be doing live drawings on the stage. So mm-hmm. it's really a multimedia exhibition. And
sounds
it's
exciting.
Fun. It's much more of the cabaret tradition.
Okay.
And the songs are intelligent. And, you know, it's really...
It's about the Jewish culture and the Jewish songs, right? And the music tradition. The Yiddish, yeah.
Yes.
It comes along with you. I mean, the last record, you know, the Klezmatics did was all. It also goes in the line of kind of revival of the growing interest for the Jewish or the Yiddish culture and the songs, right?
Exactly. I think probably it would be better for Stella and Jerry to represent what they're doing with their music than for me to do it. But I totally agree with you that. In fact, Stella surprised me. She told me that her entire interest in Yiddish song came out of her listening to the Klezmatics. I did, which I feel the greatest of pride to know that not only are the Klezmatics one of the groups that have been kind of the foundation of this revival of interest in Yiddish culture, but that we've inspired other people who are doing it now. So that's really... you know, a great, great, great source of pride. But yes, I agree. I've been doing, for some reason, a number of interviews lately. I was in Japan mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, touring Japan and giving lectures. And they kept on asking, why Yiddish? Mm-hmm. Why do you work in Yiddish? You can do...
Well,
they didn't say that. But I said, yeah, but I said something like that, exactly. I said, because diversity is important. Because differentness is important. I mean, you know...
It's like preserving the species, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly that. It's preserving the species. The diversity is important. And especially, I mean, as English, American, and the English language, American culture, becomes more and more this hegemonic, dominant linguistic culture that everyone speaks. I mean, I have this vision that if you have someone from Denmark and someone from Sweden in the same room, they're going to speak English.
Unfortunately,
this is what I'm saying. So,
yes,
it's so the lingua franca, exactly. So, so when it gets to that point, and I've seen the same thing, you know, someone from France and Portugal, they'll speak English. You know, English, mm. English, English, English. And then if as Jews it's Hebrew, 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 Hebrew. And look, we love English, we love Hebrew. There's many things that they express that nothing else can. But the minority languages, the minority cultures are very important. The diversity, as you said, exactly like the species. And so we fully embrace it on that term, starting with that as a political motivation. But then if it were only that, that wouldn't be enough. The fact is that each of these languages, each of these cultures has its Yiddish tam. It has its own taste, its own mm-hmm. flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we love. This is why we do it, because you want to feel that particularity. What is it that makes it so special? Again, you know, if you know, I got a little confused in the Copenhagen airport because there's a Marimekko store, and I'm saying, like, wait, that's not Danish. That's, you know, but yeah, Finnish. But there's probably, you know, some sort of Danish design shop in the Helsinki airport. Again, everything becomes, you know,
yeah.
more and more
international,
and we really. We like differentness. We celebrate differentness. But you said one other thing, which I just wanted to point out. You said a dying language. And it's interesting. The question of whether Yiddish is a dying language is a very interesting one. One sort of joking aphorism is that Yiddish has been a dying language for 1,000 years.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
But
it's still alive.
But it's still. But the other thing, that's a little bit of a joke. Look, we know that there probably, I mean, no one knows anything, will never be a time when Yiddish really has a cultural majority as it did, let's say, 100 years ago. That was a flowering. Mm. But I just recently did a big project, an opera in Cuba, mm-hmm. that was about both Yiddish culture and Taino, the indigenous people, the native people of Cuba and the Dominican Republic. And I have to say, compared to the Taino language and culture, Yiddish is thriving. I mean, you know, in Taino, when someone dies who knows the language, that's like 10% of the people who speak that language have just passed on. Mm. So it's really, so when we look at it comparatively, I mean, there's much smaller micro cultures, and it was fascinating to see it that way. I think all of us feel the pride of our, I mean, in a way you guys are blessed. You have two very small, very rich cultures that you embody, both being Danish and being Yiddish Jews, mm. and these are two wonderful cultures to embrace in against the morass of homogeneity.
We even have a professor position in Sweden, not far from in the southern Sweden. There is a professor teaching Yiddish at university level.
Wasn't Yiddish made one of five or six
in Sweden? Yes.
In Sweden,
right.
It was made one of these official languages.
Yeah, exactly. To preserve, okay, yeah,
exactly.
Because I think we're
all part.
Some
but,
kind of
but if but we don't want to do it. I mean, it's we need the academics who do this very, you know, professionally, but the artists do it in a much more interesting and provocative way by making new works of art. And that's what you were saying, to get back to the point, what did the Klezmatics and Stella's band have in common? That we're creating new works of art using this culture. And we both do it in similar ways, in that we'll take poetry and set it to music. We'll get new texts written. We'll translate things. And working in it, and there's a professor, Jeffrey Chandler, who has posited that because there is a Yiddish cultural renaissance, in a certain sense, there's more art, music, and culture in Yiddish happening now than even 100 years ago when it was the dominant thing, except that the audience that receives it almost needs it to be translated.
Yeah.
So he calls it a post-vernacular culture. Post-vernacular, which means it's here, but no one speaks it. But we're all working in Yiddish. And to a certain extent, when we're doing a challah braiding thing, we're expressing Yiddish culture without the language necessarily, as opposed to if we were making pitas, you know, pita bread and hummus, that would not be expressing Yiddish culture. That might, you know, but when we're braiding the challah, then and we're talking about the folklore around it and the salt and you know everything, we're expressing the Yiddish culture. And probably as they're talking, some words of Yiddish will come in. So it's an interesting thing, and I think that's all part of it.
It's fascinating for us, as you mentioned, we are the tiny minority in Denmark,
yeah.
The Jewish minority, and it's fascinating, you know, how the Jewish language is surviving. I mean, for me, I sense that, you know, from time to time we put to the grave, you know, Yiddish, but then we realize that Yiddish is still, you know, living and kicking, you know, and that is growing interest in Yiddish once again, you know, so it's coming with the wave, so to speak, you know, you started with the Yiddish language, the Yiddish science, then you go out. You embrace the whole world, you know. You have world music, you know. You have a, you know, with the Getre, you have a Cuban music, you know. And you know, at a certain point, you are coming back to the dying language, which is not that.
It's coming back very much with music, I guess.
Exactly.
I remember my parents They could speak Yiddish. They spoke sometimes Yiddish at home. Yeah. But mostly when they were listening to Yiddish music, it was like, you know, heaven. If you could get hold of a Yiddish record somewhere.
Well, I work in New York with a wonderful singer named Eleanor Risa. In fact, we're talking, hopefully we can get her to come to Copenhagen this year, if that's possible. And she's a child of survivors. So she's of that last generation that was really born in speaking Yiddish. And she's very knowledgeable about Yiddish. And we were talking about songs translated into Yiddish from other languages. And she found an entire score for the musical My Fair Lady.
Wow.
In Yiddish.
Really?
and we're talking about Gilbert and Sullivan in Yiddish and all these. And I recently actually heard a very weird performance of Wagner in Yiddish. You know,
but
that's exactly the point. That's exactly, we were talking about why these works exist. Now, why did My Fair Lady exist in Yiddish? Well, and why does Shakespeare exist in Yiddish? Originally, this was for people who only spoke Yiddish. Mm, mm. This was bringing them the outside world, yeah. Translating it so that they could understand what's the big fuss about this Shakespeare guy. Well, here's the big fuss. You know, they put it into Yiddish. And it's, by the way, the famous, it's not a joke, but it's a joke, on the script for the Yiddish King Lear, it says translated and improved by Gebessert, made better, because of course it's better. But now, tonight, it's funny, the Klezmerites have a song on our new album that Stella loves, and so we're doing it in Stella's concert and in our concert tomorrow, and it's a Catalan protest song.
Oh, yeah. And we played that on the radio the other day.
Right,
yeah.
And we translate into Yiddish for various reasons. Yeah. Now, when we take something and put it into Yiddish, we're not doing it to reach those people for whom they wouldn't understand it in another language, because actually they probably understand it better in every other language than Yiddish. Mm. So we're doing it for different reasons. We're doing it for these other reasons that we've mentioned. Preserving, continuity, expansion, and also because what is the unique taste that Yiddish brings? And this very provocative piece called Wagner in Yiddish that the guy did, he did some piece, he was giving an example, half in German and half in Yiddish. And the question is, do we hear the difference? What is the difference? You know, and it's very different, because when you speak Yiddish, Yiddish has in it, it's not just a dialect of German. It has embodied in it all these Jewish concepts. You cannot speak Yiddish without speaking Jewish concepts. You know, so when you talk about like a hated enemy, you're going to talk about Amalek. So right away, the references in Yiddish are Jewish. So it embodies a Jewishness, you know. But the culture is in the language. That's
coded,
my
actually.
Yes, yeah. It's totally coded, and that's where it gets really, really most interesting. And there's, I don't know if you know Michael Wex, the author of many books about Yiddish and things, one of our best Yiddish writers about and in Yiddish, and he talks about personally. He's gotten in trouble. He was commissioned to translate Brecht and Weill's Three Penny Opera into Yiddish, and he did it. Hmm. And what the people commissioning it wanted it was basically mostly using the German Yiddish, the language that almost anyone would understand. But he absolutely uses a full Yiddish, which includes all the expressions that come from the Loshon Kodesh, from the Hebrew, all these expressions that sort of a German Yiddish speaker who was not Jewish would not understand them. And the people were pissed off. They're like, why did you do this? We wanted that other thing. But it's true. This is an old battle in Yiddish translation, I found out. And I was recently, I have to think, in some other experience, I'll get it in a minute. I will find it. Yes, I know what it is. It's a Yiddish translation that I heard by the Romanian Yiddish theater of Lola Blau by a Viennese, I'll think of his name in a moment. Viennese, it's a theater, one-woman theater piece called Lola Blau. And it was translated into Yiddish. We could understand every word if you knew German. There was not one word from the Jewish Loshon Kodesh. So yes, technically it was Yiddish, but it was like a de-Jewified Yiddish. And my wife and I were kind of cracking up at this choice. I was like, they didn't use one word, you know, Georg Chrysler. Chrysler. So it's interesting, these kind of choices. And of course, really, but this is an old battle. It's like almost like, is it shtetl Yiddish or is it intellectual Yiddish? And as if the intellectual Yiddish would not use these very Jewish isms. So even within the linguistic history, there's a good.
We have to go through the interview.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Frank.
Thanks a lot for coming.
We'll do more.
Ja, jeg beklager den lidt bratte afslutning, men pludselig så var tiden bare gået. Jeg spurgte Frank om om musikken, som han spillede sammen med Stella der, Stella Morgenstern. Og så fortalte han, at det var Stellas eget projekt, ligesom. Det var ikke fordi han var ligesom nogen fornyer af det, hun lavede, men han var med som akkompagnatør, og han syntes, det kunne være sjovt, fordi de kender hinanden godt og er rigtig gode venner. Men han fortalte jo så også, at Stella havde mødt Klismatics her for en 15 års tid siden, og på den måde var hun faktisk blevet inspireret til at begynde at synge på Yiddish. Og det var han jo med rette meget stolt af, det kan man godt forstå. Og så blev vores fortsatte samtale sådan meget omkring netop det jiddiske sprog, og hvorfor synger de på jiddisch, og hvorfor synes de, det er vigtigt. Og Frank fortalte, at han synes, at det der med forskelligheden er vigtigt, og det er noget, som skal bevares. Og diskussionen omkring, hvad enten det jiddiske sprog er ved at dø eller ej, så har det jo været ved at dø, som han sagde, for i 1000 år. Men fornemmelsen er jo, at der sker en virkelig opvågning nu. Det jiddiske sprog blomstrer rundt omkring i verden, og er for eksempel i Sverige blevet udnævnt til et af de bevaringsværdige sprog. Og som jeg også nævnte lige, er der jo også et professorat i jiddisch i Lund i Sverige. Men det der med, at forskelligheden er det, som man skal holde fast i, og man skal samtidig med, at sproget ligesom bliver holdt levende, så bliver den jiddiske kultur også til en vis grad holdt levende, fordi man kan sige, at kulturen, som man også udtrykker det, kulturen er indbygget i sproget. Altså hvis du siger et eller andet om noget jødisk på tysk eller på et hvilket som helst andet sprog, så vil det jo aldrig have den samme tarm, som man kalder det, altså den samme smag af jødisk kultur, som det har, når man taler jiddisch. Han fortalte også en sjov historie, at han havde truffet en ældre kvinde, som var Holocaust survivor, men som nu bor i USA, som havde fundet ud af, at der var mange af de store litterære værker, som faktisk var oversat til jiddisch. Altså for eksempel sådan en musical som My Fair Lady findes på jiddisch. Der er noget af Wagners musik, som også findes på jiddisch, og sågar Shakespeare. Og det er jo meget sjovt at blive oplyst om sådan en sag. Det er ikke noget, man sådan lige forestiller sig, at sådan var det. Men det er jo bare sandt. Og han refererer også til nogle rejser, han havde gjort her for nylig, både til Japan og til Cuba, måske især, fordi der er åbenbart et bestemt sprog, som bliver talt på Cuba. Jeg kan ikke lige huske navnet på det. Men der er han virkelig bange for, at det er et sprog, som ikke vil holde så mange år endnu, fordi hvis der dør indtil 15-20 stykker på det sprog inden for en ikke så lang årrække, så vil det virkelig dø. Og sådan ser det jo ikke ud med jiddisch. Heldigvis for det. Ja, nu vender vi tilbage til musikken. Og Frank Lodder nævnte jo også deres 30-års jubilæum og deres sidste nye CD, som hedder Apikorsim, og som vi har spillet nogle numre fra tidligere her i Klismerhjørnet, men jeg synes, at vi lige skal høre et par stykker her i aften også. Og i aften skal vi så høre titelnummeret, der hedder Apikorsim. Det betyder kættere. Kom til mig, min kære Ræsel, og fortæl mig om et land, hvor alle synger og danser. Hvor glade kættere ikke tænker på hverken Gud eller straf. Hvor ingen skal være underlagt en rabbiners ord. Spis og drik, og hvis du allerede har spist svinekød, så lad det bare være sådan. Det vigtigste er, at vi føler os fri, og det behøver ikke at være en drøm.
Kæmpe med min tage ræsel, skæne klæne, sisse fejne ræsel mig. Dit selv en vej til lande, meistens fyld mig fra. Der til min tage ræsel, skæne klæne, sisse fejne ræsel mig. Der til en land, vi jæder ene, sigt en lagt. Listige Apikosen tanzen in a row. Listige Apikosen trachten nicht fin Gott. Listige Apikosen nehmen sie Karin. Listige Apikosen singen mit Abrim. Misch sich, kischt sich in die Weiler, in die Wagen. Freit sich, dreht sich, guten Dank das Glück. Liebt sich, spielt sich in die Häuser, in die Gassen. Klärt sich, flecht sich, ritt sich. Listige Apikosen sorgen nicht für den Struf. Listige Apikosen haben nicht keinen Ruf. Listige Apikosen schweigen nicht kein Gall. Listige Apikosen seinen sich nicht mal. Teier, Jingle, Kerzen, Schöpsel, Fegel, Ferdel, Tor mit Echt. Zusammen wählen wir ein Weg in Land von Glied. Genießen wählen wir für neue, freie Wäule, frische Tage und Nacht. In Kicken wählen wir schon kein Mal nicht zurück. Listige Apikosen tanzen nie in Aro. Listige Apikosen trachten nicht von Gott. Listige Apikosen nehmen sie. Das ist auch hohe Nade, schulisch, kindisch, tragisch in dem Sitz. Als nicht gewöhnlich, du in Kämo wird nicht sein. Du, wenn ich Räsel meiner Schiene kleine, süße, feine, ständig bist. Mehr wären Kirchen sich und weiter trinken Wein. Listige Apikosen tanzen in Aru. Listige Apikosen trachten. Stickle.
Archipel der Ruhr. Tanga neben ist der Tanz in Eulen, Hase Liebe ist der listigste Rapport. Schickere Aprikosen tanzen hier in Aron. Freiliche Aprikosen bleiben nicht in Gott. Nackte Aprikosen nehmen sich Karin. Glückliche Aprikosen seien nie mehr Timmer.
Ja, her hørte vi Lawrence Glambergs dejlige stemme. Nu skal vi have et instrumentalnummer, også med Klezmatics, og det er et nummer, der hedder Three Ring Sirba, altså en dans, og det er klarinettisten fra gruppen, der har komponeret den med Dario. Vi igen høre Lawrence Glamberg synge sammen med Klezmatics. Det er et nummer, der hedder Wer führt die alle Schiffen, betyder hvem fører alle skibene, eller hvem leder alle skibene. Og det er sådan et trist stykke, kan man sige. Teksten siger i noget retning af, hvem leder alle skibene, der sejler på havene? Det gør Gud. Hvem sender de blide vinde, der blæser om aftenen? Det gør Gud. Hvem leger med børnene og tager nogen bort? Det gør Gud. Og hvem er det, vi hører synge rundt omkring os nat og dag? Det er de små børn, der synger i himlen nat og dag.
Thank you.
Jeg vil lige sige, at det er Chava Alberstein, som har skrevet den her melodi til Wer fährt die alle Schiffen. Vi skal lige høre et sidste nummer med Klasmatics for denne gang, og det er nummeret Schnirrele Perrele, som jo er blevet en slags signatur melodi for dem. I hvert fald sådan er det hos os her i Klesperhjørnet i hvert fald. Og det var så også et af de numre, som de sang ved koncerten. Så her får vi Schnirrele Perrele, et sikkert hit og en sang om fred.
Wetter kommen zu Foren, wollen sein gute Jorden. Oi, Wetter kommen zu Reiten, wollen sein gute Zeiten. Oi, Wetter kommen zu Gehen. Oi, wollen die Jeden in Erz Yisrael.
Er halt der Becher in der rechten Hand. Messias willkommen, heute ist Jahr. Amen, Amen, das ist wahr. Messias willkommen, heute ist Jahr. Euch niederle, perle, gildene Fahn. Messias, wenn David sitzt euch an.
Ja, den sidste koncert, festivalen, var en fælles koncert mellem Benjamin Koppel og Maria Carmen Koppel og Mammes Babbegenush. Og vi skal høre nogle numre her i aften med netop Mammes Babbegenush, det danske klismerband, som jo har stor succes og som er utrolig kreativ og er gode til at finde på nye ting og sager. Og som så vidt jeg er blevet orienteret, er på vej med et nyt album. Men det vil vi jo vende tilbage til lige så snart det kan lade sig gøre. I aften der skal vi høre nogle numre, og vi starter med nummeret I Saw Talk Nights. Thank you. Det næste nummer spillede Mammes Barbecue også her ved koncerten. Det hedder Glas eller Jash, altså et glas af noget stærkt. Og Emil fortalte, at det var også et nummer, som de har spillet ja, stort set lige siden starten af deres karriere.
Thank you.
Vi skal høre nok et nummer med Mammes Babaganoush. Det bliver Gathering Nigun.
Thank you.
Ja, ved koncerten med Bamas Babaganoush og Benjamin Koppel og Marie Carmen Koppel, der hørte vi en suite, som Benjamin Koppel netop har komponeret over den berømte fortælling af Stefan Zweig, der hedder Verden er i går. Og den er jo så ny, så den er ikke indspillet nu, men det kan jo være, at det kommer, og vi kan måske få lov at lytte til det på et senere tidspunkt. Men vi skal ellers til at slutte fra i aften. Det var Marianne Vaksberg, der sad her i studiet, og Roland Engelmann, der klarede teknikken. Og jeg har lyst til at slutte med en dansk sang, hvor Marie Carmen Koppel synger. Og det er Carl Nielsens Tit er jeg glad.
Tit er jeg glad og vil dog gerne græde. Tintet hjerte deler helt min glæde. Sorgfuld og mørdårlig, at ingen skal den bange tårer se. Tid elsker jeg til lukke. Tid har med jeg og dog jeg spiller på. Tid det er dårer som jeg har mødt på.
Jeg er hos dig.